Talk. We're here with Matt Connery and Dan Yardsale Bartlett. Before we go any further in our conversation, which we haven't started yet, Dan, why the nickname Yard Sale?
Well, coming from a resort town, we have skiers and we all know about what happens when you tumble down the mountain, lose all your equipment. We refer to that as a yard sale. So
really,
who knew?
When you lose, do you ever recover stuff? Or
well, sometimes we find that in the spring. Sometimes everything's just scattered to the winds, and you just find things in the spring when the snow melts. But
so you climb the slopes of Schweitzer picking up skis.
It has happened. My particular name comes from a slightly different angle. My first long distance backpacking trip, I packed all of my fear into my food bag. And it was way too heavy. I had two Costco-sized jars of peanut butter. They're 2 pounds apiece.
They're light. They're light, aren't they?
So I had spread all of this food out on a tarp to kind of look and manage everything. And a lady came by, and she's like, wow, that's a lot. And I said, yeah, you're just in time. I'm having a yard sale. And she said, it was nice to meet you. And then the name has just stuck.
Just stuck. Mm-hmm. You know what you sound like? If I were Matt, I'd say, boy, you're the kind of guy I want to go backpacking with. You'll have. Do you have some jelly to go with the peanut butter? And doesn't that sound like a deal, Matt?
Oh, yeah. Packing your fears is a serious thing, though. Way too much food is, not so good. But jelly's delicious on trail.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
These two men are going to be hiking the Great Divide Trail, and the money that they raise, you can pledge a certain amount, whatever amount per mile.
Correct.
And that this goes to the Ethan Murray Fund. And Matt, I'll turn to you first. Can you briefly talk about the Ethan Murray Fund before we talk how people can support you two and the journey yourself?
Absolutely. First of all, kind of a shout out to my wife, Justine, who is driving a car in Illinois with family to go to a wedding. So,
yay, Justine,
everybody
cool,
there and all the family.
Cool, no humidity.
Yes. She does this way more eloquently than I can, but we'll get through it. So the Ethan Murray Fund is a nonprofit that we started in 2021 after her son had passed away in 2019. He was shot by a police officer 6 times when he was in a mental health crisis. He was unarmed, and it's very sad. Justine she took all of that energy, and she has always been a supporter of mental health advocate, but she took that and we started the Ethan Murray Fund to try to make a difference in our community. We have done 2 other through hikes. We did the Idaho Centennial Trail in 2021 and the Pacific Northwest Trail in 2023. So this is our 3rd fundraiser. What does the Ethan Murray Fund do? We give scholarships to people that can't afford to go to and get help. Therapy. So we provide, at this point in time, we're providing 15 scholarships to people in our community. They go once a week, which is huge. And for me personally, I am somebody that is a suicide survivor multiple times. And so that hits home to me because I sat in our hospital locally here in Bonner General Hospital and was told that I needed to go home because I had no insurance. So being able to help people that can't afford to go. They shouldn't have to make a choice. So, and then we also we are able to give $16,000 to high school scholarships this year, 12 at our high school here, 2 at LPO, and 2 students in Clark Fork. And that was matched by the Tim Premer Foundation, the people that own Winter Ridge. So that was pretty huge and amazing. It's really wonderful to see the hope in our kids these days. And that scholarship is for people that have been affected by mental health or issues, or they want to go into that field. So it's great to see the kids, the breaking of that stigmatism of having mental health issues, being able to talk about things. It's really has changing. So there's a lot of hope there.
What a great mission for the Ethan Murray Fund. And I think we've had you and Justine in for both of your two previous.
Yes, that is absolutely true.
Am I not mistaken, on your second one, you were married?
That is true. There's a point where the Idaho Centennial Trail and the Pacific Northwest Trail meet, and there's Caribou Creek, and so we had family up, and we were married by a family member, Amy, and yeah.
Any
wonderful.
Any big plans during this trip?
Well, Dan and I aren't getting married.
Okay, good.
We're both married at this point, so it's
that's out.
It's a little late.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about, you know, when you're beginning and where you're going and where are you now in your plans?
Right now, I personally am in the delicate stage of not packing all the fears in the food bag again. But it's a delicate balance between calorie input and energy expelled to carry said weight. And there's a point of diminishing returns when you have so much food, it costs you more energy to carry it all. So you try and balance that out to come into town with very little, if anything, left, and then resupply the next day and head on out of town the following day. All the prep work, as far as physical preparation, has been done since last November. We've started hiking 2 or 3 days a week all winter long, into the spring through the snow and the rain. And at this point, I think I've...
Just a shout out to our hiking group, everybody that we've acquired along the way. It's been a lot of fun. So sorry, Dan, didn't mean to interrupt you.
We've had a pretty good support group that has kept us motivated throughout some of these single-digit mornings when we had to go out in the snow, hiking the Gold Hill Trail and the Manicnik Trail. They mirror our space pretty closely.
Are you expecting snow?
It can snow any day of the year in the Canadian Rockies.
Okay, so where are you guys putting in at?
We start at the U.S. border at the bottom of Waterton National Park and the top of Glacier at Gohont.
Okay.
And we'll continue north from there, approximately 700-ish miles along the Canadian Rockies, crossing over the Continental Divide more than 30 times. A ton of river crossings, some developed trails through the national and provincial parks.
How about elevation gain and loss? Are you going up and down, or?
Absolutely. The trail's broken up into sections A through G. The first section of the trail is section A, and it comes in at about 95,000 feet of elevation gain and loss in the first section. And it's the one that has the most gain and loss. So we are
right off the gate.
But our days are pretty manageable. We're not setting any speed records, so we're just going out to have a good time, take everything in. You have to book your campsites in advance. So we are metered. Our days are very strict. We have to make the mileage every day.
So what are we looking at, miles per day? Just a ballpark average, would you guess?
Right around 20-ish. Some days are a little less, 15. Some days are a little more into that 25, 26, but those are rare.
That's a lot of mileage.
Well, when your only job is walking all day, they tend to happen.
I've done that before.
Yeah,
I know what that's like.
That prepping for that concert, that's how that happens. Just walk all day. You get really good at it.
Yeah, I'll come that first day for that first stretch.
That 20 miles is pretty standard on what we kind of do through hiking when Justine and I in the past and when Dan and I have hiked also together.
No, you're absolutely correct. You start early and you have the rest of the day for it to unfold.
Right.
When you said there's sections of it, does the section end in a town, or is there a lot of support services for you along the way?
Go ahead.
Yeah. There's 7 resupplies on this one. Yeah. So as we come into town, we'll get resupplied. We have on our first resupply, it's nice. First couple of resupplies, we're going to have people come in. My wife and our dear friend Kelly is going to come in on our first resupply. And on the second one, Kelly's husband, Darren, shout out to Darren Osborne. And he was also going to jump in at Jasper. And that is going to be a really key one because at that point, it's going to be towards the beginning of September. And he'll be able to give us some more gear, not just food, to be able to swap out, like, because it's going to be colder, possibility of snow is going to increase. So that is going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
That last section is the most remote. So
what town do you end up in?
We end up at a cabin on on Lake Kakwa in the Kakwa Wilderness area. And it is at the end of a disused Forest Service road.
Mm-hmm.
60 miles from the highway. So you finish at a cabin and you still have 60 miles to walk back to the road before someone can pick you up.
Cool.
So the ending is a little anticlimactic, if you will. You're not done when you're
finished.
There's
not going to be the arch
with
the balloons and people popping champagne bottles and things like that.
And we're not going out to dinner that night.
No. It's the cabin and then I believe it isn't at the 54th parallel. Mm-hmm. There's a sign next to the link to see that also.
Huh. Okay, 54th parallel, that's pretty far north, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys are starting in August.
Correct.
Okay. And that was, can I ask why? Why is this the time of year to hike the Great Divide Trail? I would think you'd want to go, you know, earlier and try and maximize the sunlight because it's going to get cold in September as you get that far north. Maybe not. I guess I don't know. I don't know the weather.
There's a couple things. Because it is so far north, you have to let all the snow melt.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has to be kind of later in the season.
Okay. Yeah.
Which means that the stream crossings are going to be lower also.
Ah.
You know, this trail also has the big glaciers. So when you do the river crossings, the major ones, you have to do them in the morning.
Huh.
So because by the end of the day, the sun has melted the snow and the rivers increase. So those things like that, that you have to account for on this trail too. So with that, mid-July, beginning of August is the standard time for people to start.
Uh-huh. You are, okay, good. So the river crossings, you're not going over a bridge or you're not, you don't have a ferry or anything like
not
that?
Not often.
Okay. How do you, you're just.
Are they deep?
Just wade across the river?
You just wade across the river, and having not been there, I can't say for certain, but based on the research we've done, some will hit you at mid-calf, some are up to past your waist. Depends on when you hit them, where you cross. Some people, it's serious business. The consequences of some of these are legitimate. So you read comments from other hikers who have gone before you, kind of judge your space and look for the shallowest crossing you can find. Sometimes that requires walking up or downstream a kilometer or two, and you just continue on.
Do you have any idea, is this a busy trail? Like, will you run across any other people?
We'll see a lot. We'll see more day hikers than people who are doing it in a continuous north to south or south to north progression. Around trailheads, we'll run into more people. The further away from a trailhead you are, the less people you will see. I imagine we'll see someone most days, but the numbers will fluctuate depending on how close we are to a trailhead.
What's your average? You know, I did the math here. Justine said, gave me information, it's 1,095 kilometers, and that comes out to 657 miles.
And the 60 miles to the highway.
To the highway after that. What is your longest stretch day-wise in terms of resupply?
I think at this point, the very last section is a little hard to judge because it's a very marshy, water-filled space, and making miles could be difficult.
Slow going.
Mm-hmm. At this point, we're looking at 7 days, 8 days is a max. Okay. Between resupplies, and that would be our last section. So theoretically, we're in good shape, and we should be able to push those miles a little harder, but terrain dictates speed.
Okay. Okay.
When you do resupply, are you guys packed? Like, are you going to just pick up a box that's already ready to go? Okay, so do you ship stuff ahead? You don't have to go to the grocery store and, like...
You will end up going to the grocery store because most of the... You pack... the things you think you want. Uh-huh. And then when you get those, you're like, yeah, I don't want this because I've been eating it for 5 weeks at this point. You tend to make a lot of trips to the grocery store, even when you think you've packed all the food you could carry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when you go into the grocery store for that first time, when you're out for a while, it's just like, I can eat anything I want. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a kid in a candy store, you know, you're just, it's fun.
Yeah.
Well, but that is true, Matt, isn't it? Because you're doing nothing but burning calories.
Correct.
All day. And that, you know, when I've not done anything like you guys are doing, but I have done parts of the Appalachian Trail, that was my license to eat. You know, that there's no way that you can keep up that calorie intake that you're burning off. You know, that's why peanut butter is great. You know, and not only you can use your finger. You don't need utensils with peanut butter.
Peanut butter shots are real.
Yeah,
on trail.
It's definitely a thing.
Yep.
The key is to balance your calorie intake and output to a point, because you can't carry enough calories.
No,
so you're trying to just offset the weight loss until you can get to town and eat that greasy burger or those three pizzas or the half gallon of ice cream.
Of course. My mouth is watering.
And not have to worry about putting on weight is amazing.
Now, how heavy do you imagine your backpacks will be?
I can speak to my own. I'm shooting for under 40 pounds with an 8-day carry. And that's all my housing equipment, carry my house on my back, plus food and water.
Is most of it equipment or most food and water?
Mostly food and water.
Yeah.
So, but you know, with two of you guys, one tent? No, two tents?
Two tents.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. How about stoves?
Two stoves.
Yeah.
Most of the time with thru-hikers, it's different for Justine and I because we're a couple, and so we share everything. You know, we have our own setups. So,
yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I maybe it's just a fantasy of mine, you know, but, you know, I've never gone with another person.
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh, wow, you know, that means one of us would carry the tent and the other person would carry the cooking things and things like that. But... Mm-hmm.
In some situations, that works out really well.
Yeah.
There's another gentleman, Jim Waller, is going to join us from Maryland. I met him last year on the PCT.
So there's going to be three of you?
There's going to be three of us.
Oh, okay.
This is a good trail to hike with numbers because of the wildlife. So,
sure.
Yeah. Wildlife and water crossings. I mean, some of these water crossings are in floodplains where you may cross the same river 20 times to get to the other side. So it makes sense to have people to watch out for you, and you can watch out for someone
absolutely.
Else. People do it solo all the time. Yep. I'm just not comfortable in that space, and I make no bones about that.
So is this guy going to be the one carrying the brick?
He might carry a brick at some point. If you're listening, Jim, don't worry about that rock.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. So is he going to be with you the whole way?
Whole way,
yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Can you talk more about the kinds of animals that you will run across, but there's a possibility that you could?
Yes. The big obvious one is going to be bears, black bears, grizzly bears, moose, wolverines, woodland caribou has also on the list.
Okay.
Mountain goats, bighorn sheep, but also the mini bears are just as damaging. Like, we've been following on Facebook, the Great Divide Trail page, and there's people leave their stuff outside of their tent and it gets destroyed because all the little critters come in, chew the cork off of your trekking poles, chew on your...
They want the salt.
Chew on your backpack straps. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, those guys can be destructive too. And that has happened. Justine and I on the PNT... in 23, we were staying in a shelter, and she had a pack rat join us in bed, and it ran across her shoulder, and she flung it. She did not sleep for a few hours.
Totally understand.
Yeah. He's a cute little guy, though, but they can be destructive.
Oh, man.
I just got the willies over that.
Yeah. Are the campsites you're staying in, you got to make reservations, but are these developed campsites, or more like, I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking, do you have bear boxes or is everything going up in the tree or what do you do with your stuff?
It's a mix of both of those things. Many of the Canadian national parks have bear box infrastructure in place. They also have raised tent pads where you set your tent up so it's not just a dispersed camping situation. Some of that comes into play when you have a tent that's bigger than your tent pad or you don't have a freestanding tent and it's a wooden platform. You have to figure out ways to rig up your tent. So that's an issue. But sometimes you have to do what they consider a bear hang between trees, get your food off the ground, away from critters. And sometimes that's just essential to keep the little bears from gnawing through stuff. We have bear-proof food storage. A lot of people take a bear can, which is a hard-sided. So this year I'm using a Dyneema, which is some fancy space fabric like the Emperor's New Clothes. And it's grizzly bear-proof. There's a video of this bear tearing into this thing for an hour, and he did not succeed in getting food out of it. So I'm hoping I am successful.
Yeah, but who'd want the food inside it?
That's the other problem. Sure.
Can I ask each of you one creature comfort item that you take with you that is not a bear necessity, but
I carry a pillow and a 3.5-inch thick air mattress.
Ooh.
Not shabby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not the usual
air mattress. No, none of this fold-up Z-Lite thing for me. I'm pretty bougie.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Sam, I have an inflatable. So I guess mine is going to be the our pad inflator. It's a little guy that I could hook to a battery pack. It's a little fan that blows up my sleeping pad at night because that is my one thing I hate to do the most on trail is blow up my sleeping pad. And it weighs like
an ounce. I was going to ask you a weight.
Yeah, like it weighs like an ounce. Yeah. It's so tiny.
In this day and age.
Everything is small.
Yes.
Everything is small and packable. We're here with Matt Connery and Dan Bartlett and here on 88.5 KFYN. They're talking about an upcoming hike. I'll put quotation marks around the word hike on the Great Divide Trail. And it is a fundraiser. And we're going to play a song and then we'll come back and let's talk about how people can support what you're doing. This weekend at Saturday, 88.5 KFY is having a CD sale on First Avenue, and incredible CDs have been donated, and we want to thank people for doing that. And for me, it's like, boy, I should have waited for this CD sale. You know, I paid $12.98, $18.98 for my CDs, and these are for a buck. Ooh, I can't say that on the air, can I, Jack?
We are a nonprofit. And this is a benefit for our nonprofit corporation.
But I can say,
They're very affordable. I don't know. I think you're allowed to say
the cost of one Susan B. Anthony. How's that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. And here's here's one of the artists whom we have many CDs by, and this is Jimmy Buffett with off his greatest hits, "A Pirate Looks at 40." Here on 88.5 KRFY. That was Jimmy Buffett, "Pirate Looks at 40," one of the CDs that will be on sale this Saturday beginning at 8 o'clock. Sidewalk Crazy Days here in Sandpoint. And you want to know an interesting thing about that song?
Yes.
I can remember when I first heard it, "A Pirate Looks at 40. Uh-huh. I was looking at 40 from the bottom side.
Uh-huh.
Now.
I'm
looking at it
way.
From the other side.
I believe that one, he wrote it when he was not yet 40 either. He was some years away from 40 when he wrote it. Kind of wrote it from the perspective of one of his characters more than his own.
I think that appears on his "Living and Dying in Three Quarters Time," and late 60s, about
70s, early, yeah, whatever,
something like that. Anyway, it's a great song, and But here we're talking with Matt Connery and Dan Yardsale Bartlett about their upcoming trek starting August 1st on the Great Divide Trail. And Matt, how does one support your one foot after the other foot?
You can get on the EthanMurrayFund.org and make a donation that way. It'll take you to, there's a link that'll take you to, I believe, PayPal. And then, or you can go into Le Chic Boutique, which is the store that my wife owns downtown here. And we have sign up sheets there. And there's an actual physical map there that you can see of the trail in,
oh, cool,
in person. Yes.
In the store, let's, before we go, it's, yes, between 1st and 2nd on Main Street, on the south side of the street.
Correct.
Perfect. Perfect. La Chic Boutique.
The Chic Boutique. So with these trips, with this, like, Dan and I are fully funding ourselves, our own trip. So no money donated is going towards our hikes. So with that, like, Winter Ridge has donated quite a bit of food to us to help offset the cost a little bit. So I just want to say a huge thank you to Vanessa at Winter Ridge. She's a manager there that kind of took the order and got it, everything for us. So,
mm-hmm,
yes.
Now, one can either pledge per mile, like a certain amount per mile, or a flat sum.
Correct.
Cool.
Yes.
Cool. And how are the fundraisings going thus far?
It's going good. We're almost at $2,000. We kind of have a goal of $20,000 this time. We have a little scale, like there's little squares that you can fill in at the shop, like a little meter to see where we're at. So if you go in and donate $50, you get to fill in a box, which is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we've been taking people's pictures as they fill in the boxes and posted them online, hopefully.
Cool.
Make people excited.
Okay, this begins on August the 1st, which is a week from tomorrow.
Time is short.
Yeah. Where are you guys at now? I mean, do you have, like, in your garages, it all laid out? And have you made tough decisions yet?
I have one room in particular in the house that is just a disaster. And luckily, Justine is in Illinois right now because I have to have it cleaned up by the end of today.
Right. I have a spare room in the house that is full of open food containers and a kitchen scale and a mountain of Ziploc bags. Had I known I was going to fall into long distance backpacking, I'd have bought stock in
Ziploc baggies
a decade
because
ago.
Because you repack everything.
Repack most things. And I try and reuse the bags. You know, it's not a single use item.
Absolutely.
But, it does add up. Yeah.
And you said you're going to be about 40, be under 40?
Under 40 pounds. Yeah.
How about you, Matt?
It's, yeah, pretty close. It all depends on the weight of the food in the water, okay, which fluctuates.
Now I'm going to ask you guys a personal question. Matt, you're the one who has done hiking this way twice before for the Ethan Murray Fund. What are you looking for with a companion? I mean, you know, it's sort of like, you know, partially, do you get along with Dan, do you get along with Matt? And what would be deal breakers?
Finding a hiking companion is a tough deal. Matt and I have both done hiking separately. Okay. I was hiking the Pacific Crest Trail from the Mexican border north when they were doing the Idaho Centennial Trail.
Ah.
Someone said, hey, somebody else from town is doing this big trip. You should follow along. And my hike was cut short due to the Dixie Fire back in 2021.
Right.
So I came home and offered my services to them saying, hey, if you guys need a resupply, I can hike things in. I'm in good shape right now. I get the whole trail culture, that thing. And we've just started a relationship in that way. So we both came from a similar background on different trails.
Mm-hmm.
Matt accompanied me on a section hike in Washington where he was kind enough to, in quotes, save my life during a bout of food poisoning. He set up all my gear for me. So after that, when you're sick and taking a dirt nap.
That is major, major.
So it's like, I can hike some distance with this guy. So As far as a deal breaker, that's a tough one. I think it might come down, for me personally, I think it might come down to like ideological differences that you can't discuss.
Now, are you guys talkers on the trail?
Yeah. Really? We're talkers here. Talking on trail when there's nothing else to do, it's kind of a given. Yeah, we'll talk. We'll solve all the problems of the world and get nothing accomplished.
Cool. Probably in the first 3 days, and then after that. There is times with Justine and I, too, it's like after 2 months of hiking, you kind of run out of, you stop talking. There's you kind of run out of stuff to talk about until you get to town. And then,
boom,
the flood. And then you get back on trail, and for like 1 day, you're like talking a ton, and then it's like dies off. But, yeah, it's a lot of trust. You know, this is somebody that is, Dan and I have gotten to know each other even more over this last year, hiking weekly. You just get to know that person, and, you know, you're kind of trusting each other with our lives. So you want to make sure that you go with somebody that you can really rely on. And trusting Dan, I have not met our other hiker, Jim. I've talked to him a couple times. He seems like a wonderful guy, but it's that having enough trust in Dan to have that other hiker along and get along, knowing that he'll be too great in the group.
Yeah, I'm terrible, you know, a conversationalist on the trail because I do have a moderate hearing loss. And, you know, if I'm behind someone, and then the other thing is if I'm ahead, I have to turn around. And of course, this is all predicated on that I have learned that watching where you put your feet as opposed to, you know, looking around, you know, I end up stumbling and falling all over the place. So I'm not the ideal person to be with on a trail because I can't hear you. And nothing frustrates a fellow hiker more than, huh? You know, can you repeat that? You know, so I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'll be rooting for you guys.
Well, I personally have found out what not keeping an eye on your feet will do. That's how I decided that Jim would be a good fit for this, you know, group. I had what they call a vertical challenge. I had a low speed, high angle impact when I fell on my face. Ooh. I just got tripped up and cracked my face on a stone, and Jim was there to kind of help keep me patched up and so forth. So that was another way to say, you know, I can hike some distance with this guy. I trust him. So
when does Jim arrive?
Jim comes out on the 29th.
Okay.
Next week.
Matt, you got 2 days there to give him the Matt stamp of approval.
Oh, yeah. It'll be good. He's a very nice guy.
So one more time, if there is somebody out there who wants to support you either with a lump sum or with so much per hour,
you can go to the EthanMurrayFund.org and make a donation that way, or go to Le Chic Boutique downtown Sandpoint, 107 Main Street. We have a sign-up sheet there that you can donate that way, or you can, there's a QR code there that you can jump onto. You can pledge per mile or make a flat donation.
So anything in conclusion that you want to say?
I think that, you know, using this hike to raise awareness for mental health, especially in our community, everyone benefits from time outside. It's been proven in studies, not only in our country, but around the world, nature bathing, just being outside helps regulate your dopamine and serotonin levels. It's very uplifting. It's calming. People use it as a great way to relieve stress, you know, to bring themselves back to center. So this is a grander adventure than most people will take on, but it also just kind of really signifies what being in the outdoors can do for people.
Can do for a person.
And I personally found it a great way to just kind of decompress. I'm a retired UPS driver. I don't have a lot of stress in my life. Those days are over.
Now.
But I do find that after I come back from one of these hikes, I'm a better version of myself. Just more calm, more engaged, more willing to step in and do things.
Yeah. I think also too is you can have such difficult days on trail that the rest of your life when you get back, you know, what is really important to you. You know, those hard things that you're stressed about in real life, they're not as impactful. You just learn how to deal and cope with it a lot easier.
Puts it in perspective.
Exactly. Thank you. Yes, that's it.
Now, let me ask you, I mean, you both have done hikes. You've done the two with Justine. What kind of weight loss will you experience? I mean, you both look pretty fit right now.
Oh, I've got an inner tube going on. You know, I don't want to be too skinny. I'll probably lose 20 to 25 pounds.
And Dan?
I've had to redo my entire meal prep. The last, in 2021, was my last big long hike, and I lost 40 pounds over the 40? Course of 60 days.
Wow.
40?
40. I tried to do the entire Eastern Sierra in a single carry, and that was 18 days, and that was not enough food. So it was poor planning on my part. I had a timeline to be somewhere, do something. And
boy.
Yeah, so weight loss is an issue. You try and just balance the loss with what you can put on.
Well, it's not just the weight loss. I mean, we all sit here in civilization as, you know, and think about, ooh, I could afford to lose, you know, 5, 10, 15 pounds. But it's also the energy that goes along with, you know, you're expending, you know, not only losing calories, but, you know, a lot of the calories, you know, that you intake, you know, keep you going. Mm-hmm. You know, what a balance that must be.
It is. You get into really good shape, and that is something that I look forward to. But yes, like just in 23 on the PNT at the local, one of the gyms here, I went in and they can measure your fat per muscle, your body weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe I was like at 22% before I left, and I was at 12% when I got back.
Whoa.
You know, of
you were fat. A beast.
Yeah, you trim up a lot. It's kind of funny because I have in my closet at home, it's split in half. I have before hiking, going on a through hike, and then after through hike clothes, because you lose too much weight. You have to have different sizes totally. It's crazy.
Matt, Dan, wish you the best of luck. And I personally want to say, I'm sure Jack echoes this as well. The Ethan Murray Fund provides an incredible service to the community in terms of the people it serves. And thank you both so very much for it. Yeah, this is quite an endeavor for taking it on, and we'll be rooting for you. Maybe we can have you both back on after.
Love it.
You know, and talk about, you know, a retrospect. That is, if you're still talking to each other, we might have you on one at a time, maybe.
We can tell you stories about the glories of sleeping with bears in the dirt.
So. That's right. Yeah.
Okay, now, when somebody's put on, in a play, we say break a leg.
Yeah.
What do we say to two endurance long distance trekkers?
I think break a leg is pretty solid.
Yeah.
You do not want to do that.
No.
Hey,
yeah.
Thanks so much for coming in. And again, La Chic Boutique, sign up there, per mile pledge or a donation, or the Earth Ethan Murray Fund. You can go online and find a place to do that there.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And Jack.
Yes.
We have one more song, and then I want to talk about the CD sale coming up.
Sounds good. We're going to talk. Okay, we're going to play a song.
We're
going to CD sale.
Yeah.
Crazy Days. Mm-hmm. It's the opening of the festival. I got an interview with Ali Baranski. I recorded, I think, on Monday. We're
okay.
going to play.
Cool.
And possibly we'll have a visit from someone from the Panada Theater in
cool.
a few minutes as well. So. Holy cow.
Yeah.
You stay tuned for at least another like half hour or more of the morning show, even after 9 o'clock. But
and in the end there will be Bird Note. We mm-hmm. know that there are people who absolutely
yes.
You know, die for that program, that 3 minute to 5 minute. But
Bird Note will air at 9 o'clock.
Right. And mm-hmm. this is, we'll just play maybe not all of the song, but
sure.
The Beatles Double White Album will be up for sale. That will be $2 because it's $1 per disc.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a song from the Beatles White Album, George Harrison's While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
The Beatles, from the album, their self-titled album, The Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
You might know it as the White Album.
Right.
That one's While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
With Eric Clapton
uh-huh.
playing that guitar solo in the center of it.
Pretty cool with to throw Clapton into the Beatles like that. Love that tune. Good and band, the Beatles.
Yeah, they held their own uh-huh. in their day.
Yeah.
One of many Beatle albums on sale for $1. And one of the things I lament, Jack, is that I wish that I would have held off putting together my CD collection at home
mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, for $1. Now, of course, the White Album will be $2 because it's a dual disc.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're beginning a CD collection, we've got, you know, classical, we've got jazz, we've got blues, we've got folk, and then we could just have the general,
mm-hmm.
One of the different artists. But, you know, if you have a second home, like a cabin,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is a great way to have, rather than schlepping music back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, I'm going to turn to you. You know, hopefully we'll raise some revenue for the radio station in its operations budget. Can you talk about where the money goes?
Proceeds go to this nonprofit, non-commercial radio station, which is has now been on the air for 14 years.
Can you believe that?
I can. Yeah, I could believe it or not. We do. We of course we have a. It's hard to get general operations funds. Believe it or not, we can sometimes get grants for like new equipment and things,
mm-hmm.
but. Things just as simple as paying the rent at the tower. Believe it or not, we don't own a tower. We have to rent space at the tower, and that's a regular monthly bill. Power as well. We have equipment here that could use a little improvement that we might not be able to qualify for a grant for, but the little things. We do have an entirely part-time staff, but paying the staff is part of the budget, and there's all sorts of things. Plus, we have a wish list. Like, for example, we'd like to get an uninterruptible power supply out there at the tower, so that when crazy weather events happen that knock out power to our broadcast tower, you can still rely on KRFY for its emergency weather updates and things like that.
The other thing is that, let's say, for example, the headphones I'm wearing
mm-hmm.
right now, for some reason the cord becomes cut or whatever like that, which could happen, you know,
uh-huh.
that we can't wait around for a grant
yeah.
to, you know, let's say 3-4 months. We need it right now. So oftentimes cash on hand, or postage stamps
mm-hmm.
when we do a mailing at 73 cents per item.
Mm-hmm.
There's all sorts of ways that the revenue. But an upside to all this is, even if you don't buy anything, stop by and say hello. We're going to have local programmers there, and you'll get to be able to put a face with the voice. Velma Queen of Fun will be there. Russ Tomlin from the Tuesday Night. Terry Nobody from Judas Priest and Iron mm-hmm. Maiden. They're not going to mm-hmm. be there the whole time. I will be there the whole time. But,
uh-huh.
It's just a great way. And also, you know, support local. You know, come downtown and
mm-hmm.
drop a coin or two for the other businesses as well.
Yeah. Crazy Days is, for those, I guess, who don't know, everybody throws their stuff out on the sidewalk rather than the shops.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the shops continue to operate indoors, too. But, it won't just be Jim and the various DJs out there. There'll be stuff going on all up and down First Avenue and downtown.
And like any public gathering here in Sandpoint, in the area, you'll run into friends whom you haven't mm-hmm. seen in a while. And it's just a general good feeling day.
Yeah.
And but by all means, stop by. We'll probably, by the time we get it set up and have our music playing by around 8 o'clock. And there are some gems, lots of Bob Dylan. And one of the things I've interested in, you know, I've noticed over the years is one year they'll be like last year was a big year for Bruce Springsteen. I only have one Bruce Springsteen. You know, I mean, it's sort of the ebb and flow of what is being donated. And again, we want to thank everyone for donating their CDs. And we do have some DVDs. And also, a person donated. We decided that we would go with 78 RPMs. We do have some some 78. No vinyl. We do not do vinyl because that is just too difficult
it's
to
heavy.
Manage. Exactly. But hope to see you there. And it looks like Saturday, according to the weather.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous. So come downtown and support local businesses and say hello and maybe buy a CD or two.
Yeah. I'll be down there probably right at the beginning, I'm guessing. I'll help with the setup.
I'm going to cling to you, Jack. Just show me how to do the boombox.
We got
to
play,
you know, because
out how the
we want to play music
that
will draw people in like honey to the bears.
Okay, let's see. It's time for Bird Note now. I can't tell if anybody's out there.
I'll go peek.
Okay, and then we'll be talking to Ali Baranski, a recorded interview from last
week. Real quickly, before you go to Bird Note, if there's any Bird Note lover out there, a donated was a 2-CD set of bird songs of birds from the Rocky Mountains. I've just never seen anything like that before. And how wonderful the different bird sounds of birds of the Rocky Mountain area.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
How long are those tracks?
I have no idea.
Are they just like 3 seconds? This is what a robin sounds like?
I don't know.
We should put them...
The vocal solos of the songbirds.
Good. Okay, Rob is here from the Panetta Theater, so we'll be talking to him, and then Ali Baranski. But first, Bird Note. KRFY 88.5, Pondere. This is the continued morning show. Coming up in just a few minutes, Ali Baranski from the Festival at Sandpoint with a little recorded interview, preview of what's to come this weekend. It is opening night at the Festival at Sandpoint, but they're not the only entertainment in town. Right here now on microphone number 3 is... Rob Talbot, the executive director of the Panetta Theater.
Good morning, Jack. How are we doing?
Well, good morning. We're doing pretty well. That was an engaging and exciting conversation we had with Matt and Dan Yardsale from the Ethan Murray Fund about the Great Divide Trail. I'm excited to hear how that goes for them.
Yeah, they're doing some great stuff.
Yeah,
and having fun doing it, which is awesome to see.
Love the Ethan Murray Fund. What's going on at the Panetta right now? One thing we've been talking about for a while and is now finally underway is that summer theater camp.
Summer theater camp. It's underway. We're 3 days in. Today will be the fourth. And we're having a ball. We've got 32 kids hanging out. Learning what it's like to be in the theater, getting to know the space, and learning a bit about acting as well as production. It's really neat to see it happen.
Nice.
It's definitely one of the things I'm most proud of my time so far at the Panetta.
So
being a part of that.
Yeah. Summer theater camp is going on now. It is for kids. I suppose it's too late to sign up, but it's not too late to go and catch the performance at the end of it.
Correct. Yeah. It's too late to sign up now. We've already given roles out. They've already been starting to perform and get ready for that. So we're a little too far into it to get signed up, but you definitely can support it, and you can come by. We have two performances, one on August 8th and one on the 9th, 6:30 p.m. on Friday the 8th and 2:30 p.m. on Saturday the 9th. And it's $20 per adult, $10 for youth. It'd be a nice opportunity to come out and support not only the Panada, but these kids that are going to be working hard for 3 weeks to get this down pat.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Well, what else is coming up at the Panada Theater?
Well, you know, we got a few more events coming up shortly after that in August, including Alien on August 14th,
mm-hmm.
As well as Little Loud Radio Hour with Truck Mills and Carl Ray.
Hey!
On August 19th.
Mm-hmm.
So we're rounding it out. We got a, you know, right now we're also just releasing our putting out our Five to Keep It Live campaign.
What is this? What
so
is this Five
this,
to Keep
this
It
is
Live?
The, yeah, this is... The Panada has been occurring as most businesses in the last few years. The Panada has incurred a tremendous amount of costs as we move forward, trying to keep up with the times and survive.
Mm-hmm.
We're also, many of you out there know that the grant process is changing markedly right now. Federal grants are drying up. Mm-hmm. And then those that were getting federal grants are all competing for the private grants that are available. So granting is difficult, more difficult than it has been. Our Century Fund has been flourishing. People are donating to that. It's been great. Thanks to Ting for making that a situation where when you donate $10, it makes it 20. They double it. But that goes to the property and making and updating the facility and making sure that the facility itself can survive the next 100 years, you know, mm-hmm. as part of our Century Fund. However, operating costs, none of the expenses that we need to operate the venue are taken out of that Century Fund. We have staff pay at 125 events per year. We have two full-time staff and four part-time staff, and I think we complete a Herculean effort with that small group to be a part of that many shows, and in addition to creating events such as this theater camp, Jim Messina, that's a Panada Presents event, so the gala, things like that are all created by the staff, and with help from volunteers, and it still takes a lot of effort on our end. We have to pay that staff a living wage, which has changed nowadays. Think about what you get paid at, or what the sign says at Taco Bell to get paid. It would be nice if we can pay our staff, professional staff, more than that. Also, for example, one really specific example of our cost increases is our insurance.
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Right now, insurance is,
Insurance, so insurance is going up. Everyone knows that. Everyone's been feeling that.
Yeah.
Combine that with the fact that the Panada was very underinsured before I arrived.
Mm-hmm.
The space, a total loss would not have, you know, would have incurred fees because we were so underinsured.
Mm.
And with the help of Woody on the board, he did a tremendous amount of work to research this and figure this stuff out. We were able to get a policy that covers us appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
That almost quadrupled our cost.
Hmm.
We're paying nearly $30,000 a year now for insurance.
Yeah.
That's a huge change. So it's costs like that. Associated costs with that insurance is the handrail, the wall guard that you're going to see in the balcony now.
Mm.
So we're not able to, you know, we had to put that in. Now we got to raise the seats. That's another fundraising campaign that we can talk about later. But, you know, so there's all these additional costs. All these things are taking staff time, volunteer time. So what we're asking, that was a long way to get around to what we're asking.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're asking people to do is donate $5 a month. And we're asking you to do that. Sign up for it. You can go to our website, the donate page. We're going to be putting a lot of stuff out there on social media and through print. So you'll see it. You'll see a QR code. You can hit that QR code. It'll come up and the page will be populated. All you have to do is put in your card information and hit accept. and you'll be donating $5 a month. Or if you want to go up to 10 or 20 or whatever you want to do, you can do that too. That's available. But all we're asking is $5 a month. And our goal is to get 1,000 people to be involved in this, and help us continue the mission of bringing quality entertainment, to our community.
Well, a noble goal, when we share here at, 88.5 KRFY,
and we worked so great together. It's
indeed
fun.
I know. Let's see. I should ask you, it's crazy days this weekend. Is anybody from the Panda going to be out there, I don't know, doing anything?
We'll have we have an information booth. I believe we got some popcorn going and stuff like that. We'll be participating. Yes, it'll be a fun busy day.
Okay. And then I don't know. I guess people could go and see the movie Alien if they wanted to be very scared on Thursday, August 14th. I have loved your summer movie series, but I don't think I'm going to go see Alien. I've never been able to sit through it. I like the beginning, and then the tension just ratchets up and up and up. And it's not my kind of thing.
For those that like it, I can't imagine a better space to see it than the Panada.
Yeah, exactly.
Those that want to be on the edge of their seats, those that want to be a little nervous.
Yeah,
See it on the biggest screen in the area, and hear it with our sound system, and to be in a space that, you know, you may or may not have, you know, some spiritual company. I think it just kind of accentuates all the good stuff about it.
Yeah. And then eventually Arrival, that's probably closing out the, is there a name for your, it's the Out of This World.
Out of This World series.
Yeah. Close Encounters was the last one. That's one of my favorites.
That was really well attended. I think we had right at 200 people for that one. So
cool.
That was cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Which brings up another thing. These $5 movies, we're trying really hard to keep this price tag at $5.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that five to keep it live campaign will help that out great deal. And the other thing that we really need too is sponsors. The Out of This World series is being sponsored by the Naples Wealth Management Group at Morgan Stanley. Mm-hmm. And you can check out you can support them when you go to our website and you look at the link for the event. Down at the bottom, there is a link to that company, and it's awesome to have these sponsors. Again, it's how we can make these movies $5, because I tell you definitively, it costs more than that to put these on.
Ignore that, Rob.
Trying.
Okay. How do we turn that off? Okay.
No worries, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, it's beautiful, though.
It's not going out over the air. I don't know what that is. Or it's in the, it's in the other room.
But yeah.
Boy, oh boy.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, okay. Thanks. Continue.
Well,
say what you were saying.
No, yeah, we're done. Yeah, I said that. Said the piece. Thanks to our sponsors for making these movies possible. And again, five to keep it live. Those of you out there that can do that, jump on that bandwagon and help us out. Help us keep this thing going and keep the Panda thriving. And I want to say thanks to everybody out there. You know, I've been at the Panda almost 2 years now, and it has been a ride. I love it. I love the crew that we've built there. Honored to work with Caitlin and Brendan and Doug and Olivia and Karen. The volunteers are amazing. There's a handful that just are there all the time. For those of you that don't know, our concessions and our ticketing are all run, and by that concessions, I mean bar and concessions, are all run by volunteers. Mm-hmm. These people are dedicated. They love this space. They love the Panada, and they love our community. And it's really been rewarding to work with those people. And I appreciate everyone in the community that has supported me over the years and supported me stepping into the Panada. And I hope that it can continue for a long time. I hope we can continue the momentum that we've built. And again, thanks to everybody.
Okay. Well, Rob, this is, let's see. I'm gonna you're listening to 885 KRFY Ponderé, by the way. It's Panhandle Community Radio, the KRFY morning show, and we're doing an extra long one today. We've been talking to Rob Talbot. Thanks to Dan and Matt for coming in earlier from the Ethan Murray Fund. Our next topic of conversation is, of course, the festival at Sandpoint, which kicks off
good times
today. And Allie Baranski was nice enough to drop by the studio on Monday and pre-record a little something that we can play. They are right in the thick of it, getting ready for kickoff, so to speak. That's tonight. Let's see, since we are now well into the 9 o'clock hour, this will be kind of a mix of, I'm going to play one and then we'll play some music from the various acts that are coming to play this weekend. So this will be your beginning of Otto's Eclectic Mix here on 88.5 KRFY. And of course we got to play a few words from, you mentioned sponsors, from our own sponsors here.
There you go.
Those who underwrite this radio station. So that'll be the first thing you hear. And then we'll be back with Allie Baranski after that. Rob, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jack. It's always, always a pleasure. And well, I see you at Sierra Farrell this weekend. I'm looking forward to that one.
Oh.
That's the one that's got me the most.
That's the one.
I think they've done a great job over there booking this out this year. And that's the one that I'm totally most excited about.
I was not planning on. I'm gonna go to Dispatch. That's the one for me.
That's another one. Definitely.
But Sierra Farrell, you're right. That's a very exciting one. And is that a Saturday? That's the Saturday night thing. No, that's Friday. That's tomorrow night. Maybe so.
Correct.
Maybe so, Rob. I don't know. It's not too late to get tickets. I don't think they're sold out. It sounds like a fun way to spend a Friday night. Yeah.
Hard to beat it.
Yeah. Here we go. Thanks for listening, folks. And the morning show continues right after a couple of words here. It's the morning show on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack Peterson, and I'm sitting here now with Allie Baranski. We're pre-recording this. It is Monday, July 21st, as we speak these words, so it's not actually opening night. But when you hear it, it is opening night, opening day of the festival at Sandpoint. Allie Baranski is the executive director of the festival at Sandpoint. And, is this the most wonderful day of the year for you, Allie? Is this the most stressful day of the year?
It is the most stressful. Yes. Yeah. It is great. It's very bittersweet because it's probably the most physically and emotionally grueling for the team because they're still kind of finalizing setup while also loading in and doing the normal band load in gear stuff at the same time. So they have two jobs on opening night, finishing last minute stuff and getting the band ready to go on.
I popped by the grounds over the weekend just to take a look. I wanted to put my eyes on it, and it looks great. But when I got there, the stage was still not set up. So imagine we are talking on Thursday morning. Where do you hope everything is? Where do you hope you are right now? Are you just enjoying a cup of coffee and everything's done? Or are you kind of frantically doing the last minute preparations?
It all depends on the year. We always say it's not if something will go wrong, it's what will go wrong. Mm-hmm. So far it's feeling pretty good. You'll be in the past, there would have just been some potential lightning. So right now we're looking at that.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll create some delays. It's this orchestra of all of these orders of operations that have to happen in the right order. And if you lose a day or a half day, it makes a big deal on the production crew. Sometimes they'll pull night shifts to make it work. Hopefully opening night, things are running smoothly. The team is just so phenomenal. And every year they raise the bar and it seems more dialed and organized. And so I try not to jinx us, but it's feeling really good. We already had some delays, but the stage is already all the way up and ready to go. And so we're on track right now, which is a great feeling.
Sweet. Okay. Any fun production stories or near misses or any problems so far?
So the event decking, the plastic flooring that covers most of the backstage area and protects our beautiful turf, one of the semi-trucks broke down in Utah. And that's one of those order of operation. Nothing else can go in.
That goes underneath
everything. Yeah. And the last pieces that get built are the ones that go under the stage. So I was relieved to see that while we were building the first half, they've got a new semi and got it here in time for the team to keep working. So, yeah, every year there's just different wrenches that get thrown in. But
I didn't realize how much there's a ton of that decking. You guys cover a massive amount of the field. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. I like that on your little note that you sent me, you start with the mission statement to be a community catalyst for arts, culture, and education. A nice thing to keep in mind. And it rhymes very nicely with KRFY's own mission statement of providing programming that educates, informs, entertains, and enriches the lives of its listeners.
Very similar.
Yeah. Before we talk about the lineup and what's actually coming up tonight, what are the big picture items? Of course, the big news, I think, that probably everybody's aware of, and I guess you're going to find out tonight how well you did at getting the word out, no outside liquids at
Correct.
The festival.
Yep. Yeah.
Which is a first.
Yep. And I think the first thing I'll say is, like, I'm extremely proud of how long that Sandpoint and the festival Sandpoint, you've been able to bring in your own beverages. It's unheard of, and especially in this day and age, and it's unheard of for a reason. And that's really comes down to liability and insurance. So unfortunately, to continue to cover all of our programs and education and get full coverage at the festival, we no longer could allow people to bring in their own beverages. It's a sad day, but we're really excited that, like, we were able to do it as long as possible. We have made some changes within the venue to help accommodate that as much as possible. You can bring in up to 32-ounce empty water bottles. We will have multiple water refill stations throughout the venue. You can bring food. That's the most common misconception that I've heard is no food or drinks. I'm like, you can bring in your own food, bring in your charcuterie. This is purely an insurance and liability thing. The prices for the bar, that was like a big thing. Like, we already have historically pretty, really affordable prices compared to venues. But this year we're like as low as we can negotiate and go pricing wise. And just to give some examples, because even I was like, whoa, nice work, guys. You can get a aluminum bucket, like a cast iron bucket, not cast iron, aluminum, galvanized bucket of ice.
I know what you're talking about.
Thank you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
A bucket of ice with 5 16-ounce PAPs for $25. You can get a bucket of any other 16-ounce drinks, like 16-ounce White Claw, for $35. So you're able to get multiples in a bucket of ice that'll keep it cool for longer. So we're trying to make things as fast as possible, as affordable as possible. We've also included more non-alcoholic options like kombucha and just other things that people maybe would have normally brought in that now can't. So that's expanded. Prices are low. Really, at the end of the day, it's just insurance. It's not a fun thing to talk about, but we're trying to make it as painless as possible.
Let's see here. So is the what tickets are still available? Is anything sold out?
Nothing is sold out.
Okay.
So when I advise everyone, when you're looking at ticket prices, if they seem super high, you are probably not on our website. You are probably on a scalper or third-party resale site. They should be illegal because they're very misleading. There's actually, at the federal level, trying to make it illegal. You'll see a friend yesterday said that they were looking for Third Eye Blind tickets and saw them for over $200 and were offended at how expensive it was, and then realized a week later that was not our website.
Yeah.
So all tickets are still available. Most of them are, you know, they're all under $100, including taxes, fees, and things like that. So most of them are more in the $60, $70 range, some in the $50s. So yeah, make sure you are on festival@sandpoint.com, or when in doubt, buy a ticket at the box office or at the festival office on non-show days.
And, okay, last housekeeping item here. The digital program is now available.
Yes, the digital program. Everything that you need to know. Bus, shuttle, schedules, bar menu, even some of our signature cocktails are in there. Bios on all of the artists, maps. Anything that you need to know is in that digital program. It's online. It's on our Facebook. It's on our website. It's kind of nice to read ahead of time. A lot of people get in there and socialize and then have a lot of questions. So I just recommend, if you have the time, to peruse through it, take a look at our digital program and check everything out before you go.
Is it, do you have a physical program at all?
Or it's all digital? Just digital. Okay. Just to be green. A lot of people, if they come one night, they don't need another one. Mm-hmm. And then it also makes, there's a lot of hyperlinks. So if you want to know more about an education program, you can click the link and it goes straight to our website. If you want to know more about our sponsors, you can click on their logos and find out more as well.
Do you want to talk about a band and then play music, or do you want to play music and then talk about a band?
Let's talk about a band and then play music so people know what they're listening to.
Okay. Tonight, as our listeners are hearing this, it is Thursday, July 24th. Boy, where'd the month of July go?
Right.
And, tell us who's coming up tonight. What can people expect if they go down to Memorial Field this evening?
Tonight is a very high energy, fun evening with Neon Trees and Kyle Kelly. Neon Trees is a pop alt rock band. Popular songs are Everybody Talks and Animal. I think it's going to be a really fun, family-friendly, just high-energy show. Kyle Kelly is a singer-songwriter. He'll be opening up the evening, multi-instrumentalist. Seems like a very Gen Z up-and-comer. Seems like he's having a moment on social media and is growing a lot of popularity, so we're excited to have him kick off our entire series.
Okay. I don't actually know. I don't remember the last time I was at an opening night show. What else can people expect? Are you going to take the stage and say anything?
I do.
Start things out?
Yeah. Okay. I always start off opening night, just getting up, thanking everyone. We always do a cheers at the end. I still am in awe of how much work and how many people it takes to put it all together. Board of directors, volunteer, the staff, just really pour their heart and souls into it, and what they do to pull it all off is extremely impressive. So it's always kind of a fun night to kick it all off, welcome everyone, and kind of celebrate the beginning of what I see as like the pinnacle of Sandpoint summer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else to note about the opening night? I don't know. Anything else that goes into it? What time does it start? How about that?
Doors, general admission doors are at 6. Sponsor and early entry doors are at 5:45. If you do want to come in early, those still have early entry tickets available. Not all shows do. Mm-hmm. So you can get in. It's GA only. So first come, first serve. Make sure that, you know, you're just being mindful of your neighbor's space. And if you throw your blanket, keep all your stuff on your blanket. Welcome people into the empty spots. First come, first serve. It is a standard show, meaning that the area in front of the stage is for dancing. No backpacks and chairs in there. Mm-hmm. That's going to be opening night.
Okay. This brings up another question. What's your a group of, how do you decide like what you're allowed to bring as far as a blanket? How much space is a group allowed to take up?
Yes. Blankets are 8x8, which is very large for venues. Mm-hmm. So 8x8, only one blanket per person as you come in. So you can't mm-hmm. throw multiple. You'll get probably a little bit of a scolding from security. Mm-hmm. When you come in, we ask that people walk. Just be mindful and respectful of the people around you. We really like to keep the venue as welcoming to everyone, visitors, people who traveled and spent a lot of time and money and mm-hmm. are spending money in town and are part of that economic impact. And so, 8x8. And then just, we like to make sure that blankets are touching, because if everyone has their blankets touching, it means more people can sit closer and mm-hmm. Have a great experience.
Okay. Let's do it. We'll play something now by Neon Trees and back in a minute after this. We're back. That was Everybody Talks by the band Neon Trees, which is, they are playing tonight at the Festival at Sandpoint. Tonight, Thursday, July 24th. It's the morning show. I'm here in the studio talking to Ali Baranski. We're pre-recording this and talking about what's coming up this weekend and at the beginning of next week for the Festival at Sandpoint, which is now, it's underway. Well,
it's here.
It's here. It starts today, I guess. When do you consider it officially starting, Allie? When is it? Once doors are open, you're now the festival is on.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
That's it.
As soon as we are welcoming guests, it has begun.
So you're still in the pre-party, your pre-festival right now.
We call this load-in.
Load-in.
Yeah, okay. We are in load-in, and load-in is harder than some shows.
And it's
the hardest part because it's on such a time crunch. There's no wiggle room. We can't push first doors. And just the amount of things that have to be thought through, packed, every Sharpie, every paperclip, every zip tie, every glove. There's just a lot that has to be moved in and has to be done right.
So 5:30 tonight, that's the early admission.
5:45. Yep.
Okay.
And box office opens at 4. So if you're still considering it, walk up to our friendly interns and volunteers at the box office right there at the front gate at Memorial Field, and they can sell you a ticket.
Okay. 5:45, it's festival time. Then your mind, it's on. Does the first person to come in get any kind of a sticker or anything like that? I was the first one in the festival at Sandpoint.
Oh my gosh. No, but we should. That's
something
a great idea.
Maybe
I'll just stand there and cheer for them.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good
for
idea.
This year.
Yeah. Okay. Coming up tomorrow, Friday, July 25th, it's what can people expect? How about that? I'll let you do the.
Yes. Sierra Farrell with the Broody Brothers. Friday, tomorrow. This is, I would say, probably has the most buzz around this show, mostly because Sierra is kind of on the up and up. She's having a big moment. The Broody Brothers are also doing really well and are gaining a lot of popularity. So I think this is the kind of cool, cutting edge, new show. We have a lot of nostalgia this year, and this is really the one to see, I think, for new music. She won 4 Grammys this winter, if that says anything about her moment. We had already booked her, thank goodness. But she could be one that I think you could look back and say, like, I saw them at the festival at Sandpoint before they went big. That's really, I think, this show. I know my family is really excited. My 6-year-old daughter is very excited. So it'll be a very fun show. 2 of her Grammys were regarding her performances. And so if that says anything, too, she's a great performer. Her and her band are amazingly talented musically. So I think there's just going to be a little bit for everyone. And her biggest song and most popular one, and one that she won an award for, is called American Dreamin', which we'll be able to hear shortly. And then the openers, the Broody Brothers, are out of Seattle. And they have kind of gone a little viral. The social media part of music has really changed the landscape where people can kind of become superstars overnight. And so this one of their clips and their biggest song, Me More Cowboy Than You, went viral with over 10 million views. And so a lot of people are also really excited for that one. So I'd say don't come late. Make sure you get there for the opener as well.
Me more cowboy than you. Okay. Nice. This is the one. This is the Friday, and this is right. You're saying this is the one to catch if you want to see the up and coming.
Yes.
You see what's going to be big, you know, next year.
Yeah. I mean, just to give reference, I don't think if we tried to book her 6 months later that we could have afforded or gotten her. Yeah. So we feel really lucky to have her on our lineup this year.
Before she was, a four-time Grammy award-winning Sierra Farrell. You booked her before then.
Yes. Nice. And she collaborates with everyone. Post Malone, everyone. Lucas Nelson was just on a podcast and said that she is his favorite voice in the industry right now.
Wow.
That's Willie Nelson's son, for anyone who doesn't know. But so I think this might be the night to come to.
Okay. Well, let's do it. Let's give him a taste of Sierra Farrell going now to play American Dreaming. We'll be right back.
Wake up again in an old motel. Is it somewhere different? I can't tell. Every set of curtains opens to the open road. And I'm missing you like hell. This fan is like a prison cell. When I know you have gone with her and I can't go back home. I've been American dreaming. Oh, whoa.
Sierra Farrell on KRFY. This is the morning show. That was American Dreaming. Sierra Farrell with the Broody Brothers are playing on Friday, July 25th at the festival at Sandpoint down at Memorial Field right here in Sandpoint. We are going down the list of at least the opening weekend and the beginning of next week, and that brings us now to the next night, Saturday, July 26th, Saturday night. What is coming to the festival stage on Saturday night? Allie Baranski.
Yeah, both of our Saturdays are a lot of music. We have a 3-pack on this Saturday and a 4-pack next Saturday. So the 3-pack is Toad the Wet Sprocket with the Jayhawks and Sixpence None the Richer. It's probably one of our longest lineup titles ever. So a lot of music, very nostalgic, a lot of 90s alt rock. Toad has a lot of dedicated fans who are really excited for this show. Mm-hmm. Their most popular song is All I Want. Mm-hmm. And I've also heard that Sixpence None the Richer has kind of had a resurgence recently. Their most popular song is called Is Kiss Me. Another one is There She Goes. Jayhawks was actually a late addition. We had our second spot had a health issue, and so they got replaced with the Jayhawks, and people were very excited for that addition. So a lot of music. I always say, like, when we have 3-packs, 4-packs, make sure to get there early because the music's going to start and keep going for the whole evening. I think it's going to be a really fun, packed Saturday evening.
These are very nostalgic acts for me. I remember hearing these songs on the radio just ubiquitously in the mid-90s and enjoying them a great deal. Not overplayed, properly played.
Yeah.
You know, just fun songs, fun music. Toad the Wet Sprocket with Jayhawks and Sixpence None the Richer. We probably have all of those bands in our library, but should we do Toad's All I Want?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. In case you didn't recognize the name of the band, okay, it's one more time. You should look up and find out if this is actually the longest string of words that you've had to put on the marquee, so to speak.
Yeah, it's either that, but next Saturday has 4 bands, so that one could take it.
But they're not as wordy.
They're not as wordy. I know.
Towed the wet sprocket with the Jayhawks and Sixpence None the Richer.
Like full sentence names.
Yes.
Yeah. Nostalgia wasn't our aim this year. That's not really how booking works. It kind of like we kind of see how the cookie crumbles. But a lot of people are really excited to kind of. It's crazy how your brain remembers all the lyrics to something from 20, 30 years ago. So people are really excited to kind of be able to hear it again and relive it and just like imagine their teenage selves being so excited that you finally got to see Toad the Wet Sprocket live.
Okay, pretty cool. Let's do it. Let's do All I Want by Toad the Wet Sprocket. And we'll be back in just a minute with Allie Baranski from the festival at Sandpoint to talk about what's coming up on Sunday as well as next Wednesday. An exciting announcement about that right after this.
Nothing so loud, searing when we lie. Truth is not kind, and you said neither.
We're back. That was Toad the Wet Sprocket. The song is All I Want, and they are playing at the festival at Sandpoint on Saturday, July 26th. I'm Jack Peterson on the morning show, sitting in here right now with Allie Baranski, the executive director of the festival at Sandpoint, with just a little bit of a preview of the music that's coming up at the festival this weekend and at the beginning of next week. Let's talk about Sunday, July 27th. This might be, I'm very curious to know, like, what is selling the fastest? What are the biggest shows? If I were a gambling man, I would guess this one is selling very well. Am I right? Sunday, July 27th?
It's doing okay. And the only reason why it's okay is because it was a later announcement.
Okay.
It has picked up a lot of steam in the last week or two. So it is very slowly taking over other places as it climbs climbs our charts, I guess you could say.
And what is the band?
The band is Third Eye Blind with Snacks at Midnight as the opener for Sunday, July 27th.
It's cool that it's a Snacks at Midnight. I think you see them, they've played The Hive. I think they've played
Up in Schweitzer.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're no stranger to Sandpoint. So we've never had them on our stage. So I'm really excited that we finally had the opportunity and the right band to fit with them. And Third Eye Blind wasn't carrying their own opener. So it was really cool to be able to offer that to them as a Spokane indie rock band.
Nice. What does a Third Eye Blind say when you say Snacks at Midnight? Do they just say like, yeah, sure, whatever? Or do they like listen to the band and say like, you know, or, you know, do you give them a list of bands and they pick the one or how
does
that work?
It's definitely mutually agreeable. A lot of times they try to book their own because we're working with the agents and the agents would prefer to book someone on their roster that they're promoting. But then they'll ask us to give them some suggestions. With that, we give links, whether they have a Spotify, if they have a website, if they have live video. The agent then takes that to the management team. It probably just depends on the artist, on if management chooses it, if artists choose it. It depends on how much control they like to have. But it definitely gets approved. They will vet it. Just at what level, I'm not always sure.
Third Eye Blind, folks will know them from a number of popular songs.
Yes.
But the one we're going to play is called Semi-Charmed Life. What I was just looking for is looking at the whole lineup, there are very few repeats, right? Have any of the headliners actually played here before? Do you know? I know
some of the support has, like John Butler. And
I think maybe G-Love.
G-Love.
Yeah.
So that day has some.
Yeah.
And Donovan Frankenreiter. So. Right. That four pack, some of that support has, but yeah, for the most part, it's pretty organically new music.
No reruns this year. Okay. let's play one by Third Eye Blind and then come back and talk about Community Night, which is a very exciting addition to the festival lineup this year. So stay tuned for that, folks. But right now we're going to play Semi-Charmed Life. There's another one that you would have heard on the radio quite a bit in, what, 1990? What's your guess?
Oh, I'm not... Seven.
That was my guess, too. Okay, we'll see if we're right. But here we go. Third Eye Blind with Semi-Charmed Life. We'll be back with more talk about Community Night.
She lives for me, says she lives for me, ovation. Who will motivation? She comes out and she goes down on me. And I make you smile like a drug for you. Do ever what you wanna do, coming over you. Keep on smiling, what we go through. One stop to the rhythm that divides you. And I speak to you like the chorus to the verse. Drop another line like a coda with the curse.
Third Eye Blind with their 1997 hit, Semi-Charmed Life. We guessed correctly the year, so that is 1997 makes it just less, 28 years old, something like that, was when it was, when that was a big hit.
That doesn't age us at all.
No. What a, it's such a fun, upbeat song it's about, among other things, crystal meth addiction, I think. And it's, you know, it's kind of, it's one of those sneaky songs that that you don't expect to be quite as heavy when you hear the upbeat music of it. That's Third Eye Blind. And they're playing on Sunday, July 27th with Snacks at Midnight at the festival at Sandpoint. We're talking with Allie Baranski about what's coming up at the festival. She is the executive director of that organization that puts on this 2-week concert series every summer. And the last thing we want to talk about today is what's coming up on Wednesday, July 30th. It's Community Night. And what does that mean, Allie? What is Community Night?
Yeah, Community Night, you know, Wednesday is not a traditional night for us to have shows. However, sometimes we have opened it up for the right musician coming through. If other dates didn't work, we always every year try to kind of over deliver. So whether we add a matinee show with Michael Fronte or get more funding to make our orchestra movie and concert, where we're always trying to just, you know, really fulfill our mission and trying to bring as much music and exposure to the community. When we didn't fill that evening, I did promise my staff last year, I was like, we're not going to do another Wednesday. It's too hard on everyone. Mm-hmm. But they were very much in support of this and they were really driving it. And I'm really proud and happy that it came to fruition. So Community Night is a $15 ticket all in. That includes all of the fees and taxes and everything. So it's $15 at checkout. It's a very family-friendly night with local North Idaho musicians for an evening just for fun and connection and community. A lot of our shows have gotten a lot bigger, and that was out of necessity to cover our new costs at Memorial Field with the artificial turf. And so when we're bringing in Train and Third Eye Blind and Kansas, we've heard and we know that it feels bigger. Mm-hmm. It feels different. There's more people traveling in for it. And so we really wanted to kind of give an ode to, you know, how the festival was, and knowing that those other big shows are helping cover our costs of being there, doing a local community night with local bands, that is just very low key and fun and about community and connection.
I'm really glad you did it. Obviously, it's challenging for you to add a new night, but I think this is it's such a cool experience. It gets, I mean, such a cool use of the stage mm-hmm. that is already there, you know? I mean, to be able to bring some of these local musicians up onto the big stage, expose them, hopefully, to a bigger audience, you know, is yeah. very, it's very neat. It's a very neat thing that the festival can do and chooses to do that I think a lot of comparable festivals don't make that effort.
So yeah. That's cool. And because it's our event, we yeah. have way more control. So okay. we have control over the ticket price and mm-hmm. all of that. And so our bands for that night are JoJo Dodge. She is an indie pop folk singer-songwriter out of Coeur d'Alene. We're very excited to have her. She's getting kind of big for Coeur d'Alene. And so she's extremely talented and we're just so happy to have her. Brittany's House is also an indie rock band from Coeur d'Alene led by Jacob Maxwell, who's actually a contestant from The Voice. And they are super fun, very dancey, and just a lot of great talent and energy. Harold's IGA, which needs like very little introduction in mm-hmm. Sandpoint. Obviously, Haleen from Sandpoint, featuring Ben Olson, Katie Archer, and Josh
Vitali,
thank you. Uh-huh. Justin Landis will also be sitting in on bass and vocal harmonies. So it'll be just a really fun local night. I don't think Harold's IGA has been on the festival stage since they opened with Sublime with Rome. So it's been a minute. So we're really excited to have them. And then the Real McCoy, technically, they're out of Spokane, but they have some very strong Sandpoint roots.
Yeah.
The band is composed of drummer and backing vocalist Brian Drew, bass player Darren Truitt, and lead vocalist guitar player Brendan McCoy, Sandpoint. And then also joining them that night, our very own production supervisor Liam McCoy will sit in on second guitar. So that'll be a fun evening to see kind of just like regional acts mm-hmm. and highlight them and give them that, you know, love and support that we all love to give our artists in town. A lot of them are going to sell merch. And so it'll be a really fun family friendly night. I believe we'll have some kid activities. So bring the whole family out and just, we're really excited and grateful that we're able to do that.
Nice. What time is that? Is that on the same regular schedule as all the others?
Same regular schedule. Okay. Yep. Because it's a Wednesday, kind of a work yeah. night. So, yep. Same thing. We will have general doors at 6. Mm-hmm. Another cool addition to that, just because it's all about community, some amazing mm-hmm. business partners in town donated some items. So when you purchase a $15 ticket to Community Night, you automatically get entered to win one of three prizes. One being a $50 gift card to Burger Dock and a $25 gift card to Panhandle Cone and Coffee. A different package is $35 gift card and one steep and deep coffee brew from Evans Brothers Coffee and a $25 gift card to Panhandle Cone and Coffee. And the big one will be actually a season pass for the festival at Sandpoint for the 2026 summer series. So throughout the evening, we will be making those drawings up on stage. So all you have to do is purchase a ticket. If your name is on the purchase, that's the name and email address that we'll put into the drawing.
All right.
So don't let your friends buy all your tickets for you, and then they Venmo you. You be the one to buy the ticket.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay, a little word to the wise there. Let's see. Well, how are we going to do this? Should we play? I guess, should we sign off here, and we'll go into playing one from each of these bands.
Cool, that'd be great.
Yeah. Does the Real McCoy, they have some recorded music we can track down probably, right?
I think
we've got Harold's IGA and JoJo Dodge in the library already, I think. And we'll okay. Well, anyway, that's what we're gonna play now. We're gonna play some local music here on 88.5 KRFY. And all of these next four songs will be by bands who are performing at that Community Night, which is coming up on July the 30th at the festival at Sandpoint, which is, of course, at Memorial Field here in Sandpoint. Very cool that you're doing that event, adding that Wednesday thing. It's not easy, but it's very appreciated, I think.
Yeah, I think it's kind of been a passion project for the team, and I think it really I was glad that even though it was a bit late in our season to launch it and promote it, I was glad that everyone was on board and everyone's really excited.
So. Yeah. I'm excited to see the McCoy brothers playing together, which I don't know that I ever have.
I have not, so I'm also excited.
We're going to see how their different styles mesh. I've been advocating for that, for the McCoy brothers band to come together, but I have not seen it happen.
Good to know. Uh-huh. Making dreams happen. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yep. Okay, here we go. Local music on 88.5 KRFY. It's all from Community Night, and then we'll roll right on into Otto's Eclectic Mix, and that will be the morning show for this Thursday. Thanks for tuning in, and thank you, Allie, for sitting in, and we'll talk to you again right now for the segment that will air next week, hopefully, if all goes according to plan.
Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks, Allie.
Something in your voice doesn't sound like it should. You try to hide it, but you're not there.